applying the Puritan principle of the public shaming to drug prices in America. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The Food and Drug Administration today is launching a website that will display a list of pharmaceutical companies. These are the ones the government says have blocked the development of cheaper generic versions by failing to share information and samples with competitors. This public posting is part of FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb's larger crackdown to, as he says, end the shenanigans by brand name drug companies. From our health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports.
When drugs come to market, they're shielded from competition by patents and exclusivity rights. Before that period ends, generic companies approach branded drug makers to get samples. Michael Brzezicka is with the trade group representing generics.
We need about 2,000 to 3,000 doses of the product to conduct the testing to both our own satisfaction and the FDA's.
Some brand name manufacturers refuse to sell samples to competitors, arguing patient safety is at risk, afraid generics won't follow the FDA's safety guidelines. Research conducted by generic manufacturers found this and other tactics restricted competition on 74 drugs with more than $20 billion in sales in 2016.
It should be clear that the FDA is quite serious and won't tolerate these actions going forward.
Washington University's Rachel Sachs is skeptical, however, that outing companies on a website will have much impact. But some more savvy drug companies understand better business practices are needed. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
There's news today. The U.S. birth rate has hit a 30-year low. New data today from the Centers for Disease Control find about 4 million babies were born in the U.S. last year. Now, that's down 2% in just 1 year. Marketplace's Erica Barris is following the story.
Demographers say our declining birth rate is because of economic factors. Things like rising housing costs, high student debt, and interruptions in work following childbirth have pushed some women to delay and then forego childbirth. The birth rate declined after the recession and hasn't recovered. Down the line, fewer babies may also mean fewer services for older Americans. We're facing a growing baby boomer population, longer life expectancy, and fewer young workers paying into Social Security, Medicare, and the overall tax base. All this creates a funding imbalance. And there are right now implications on the business side. Earlier this year, Kimberly Clark, maker of diaper brand Huggies, said it was closing 10 factories and shedding thousands of workers. The reason? A declining birth rate.
All right, Erica, thank you very much. And if you'd like to explore that fiscal meets generational dynamic, book a flight to Germany or Japan, where they're wrestling with this tension of who pays for an aging population if the younger folks aren't breeding much. One answer, some experts point out, can be immigration. Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.2%. Stock index futures down, with the S&P future down 0.2%. Interest rates 3.09% for the 10-year yield. It's down this morning, but still up sharply in a week. It's like Apple iOS versus Android, Nikon versus Canon. Which side are you on when this question is asked? What's the big problem solver, government policy or market forces? We stay in touch with an ongoing scientific survey of millennials that works to be sure that people of color are well represented in the sample. University of Chicago political science professor Kathy Cohen is the founder of this Gen Forward survey. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
Give me a sense. What did you ask? What did you find?
Well, we wanted to know if they thought, given kind of the complex economic issues that the country is facing, if they believed that the free market could handle it all, or if they thought, in fact, we needed a strong government to kind of address these issues. So what we found is that, in fact, across race and ethnicity, young people, millennials, favor a strong government, right? They do not believe, in fact, that the free market alone can handle the economic issues that face the country and in particular face their generation.
Did you come right out and ask about capitalism? What do you think of capitalism?
Believe it or not, we actually did. We asked questions of favorability, we call them. So how favorable do you feel about capitalism? And then how favorable do you feel about socialism? A majority does not kind of support either capitalism or socialism. But 44% of African Americans feel favorable towards socialism, where only 34% feel favorable towards capitalism. Now, if we look at young whites or white millennials, we see, in fact, the pattern almost switches. 54% of young white millennials feel favorable towards capitalism. So real differences based on race and ethnicity when thinking about capitalism and socialism.
Some of this is defined by recent history. The millennials joined the workforce at around the time that the economy was falling through the floor in the Great Recession.
That's right. I mean, but I would even go back further. While we will focus often on the kind of Great Recession, I think the changing structure of the economy, the impact in particular on communities of color and the lessening of opportunities quite often for those who are most vulnerable have an impact on how these young people think about the economy, but think about kind of systems in the economy, whether they are capitalism or socialism or the free market and the strong government. So we'd have to kind of take a broad view, I think, when really trying to understand how millennials think about the economy.
The ongoing scientific survey is called Gen Forward. Kathy Cohen is a political science professor at the University of Chicago. Thank you.
Thank you.
And today, Microsoft is set to unveil a video game input device designed for people with disabilities. It's called the Xbox Adaptive Controller and has some DVD disc-sized programmable controllers and 19 jacks on the back to accept a variety of triggers and joystick inputs. A nonprofit called Able Gamers estimates there are more than 30 million people with disabilities who play video games. Some disability advocates wonder what's taken a company so long to do this. This thing from Microsoft will be available for $100 later this year. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.